Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
So let's go. There are three things I want to measure on today. Let me start with the first one. I want to show you a principle Jesus used for his life. And someone will say, how do you know? Well, because he said so. He was talking to one troublesome individual, and then he let us know the principle he used for his life, for his responses, for the way he acted. Why would he respond back to that thing that way? There was a principle he used, and I want to show you. Go to Luke 4, verse 4. So you know the troublesome individual going around looking for trouble. But he's not a factor. You know that, right? He's not a factor at all. You have to get it. The devil is so not a factor. Okay? Luke 4 verse 4. And Jesus answered him. Let's take it back a bit. Verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So that is how Satan is. You see that? Always questioning the word of God. Because earlier God had told him, but God had said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Then came the devil. Anytime God tells you something, Satan would show up. Anytime you're just assured of something by God, Satan would show up. And then ask you to ask for a sign. You're a prosperous person. You believe that. Satan shows up. If you're a prosperous person, how much is in your account? But your response should be like Jesus' response. You say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If God says I'm prosperous, that's it. I don't need to know what's in the account. That's what Jesus was telling him here. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He didn't need bread to prove he was the Son of God. God had said it, and that was enough for him. He didn't need bread. That's what he was trying to say. This was a principle he used for his life. If God has said it, then it is so. Are you saying it? That was how he walked. That was how he functioned. That is how he wants you to function. You live by the word of God. Until God has said so, it will not show in your life. That is how you think. That is how you respond. What has God said? Oh, you're feeling pain in your body. What has God said? Don't respond based on the pain. Respond based on what God has said. God says, you are healed. That's your response. That's the way you act. Until God says it, you have no communion with that thing. That was what Jesus was telling the devil. And that is how you should live your life also. This is probably the last time I'll talk about this coronavirus something. At least reference it in my message because I think it's done. You should be living a higher life right now. But let's say you feel symptoms. Man shall not live by those symptoms. Because you feel symptoms doesn't mean you're dying. Because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean you're living. You're living because of the word of God. So symptom or no symptom, has God said you die? No. Then that means you live. That's your response in life. Because at times, when things are going well, you base your life based on the fact that things are going well. That's wrong. That's wrong. No, your life should be based on the word of God. Because challenges will come. Then would you now say things are not going well and then something has happened? No. Irrespective. You see, it is God's word that doesn't change. And so when you hold on to that word, no matter the situation around you, your position will be established. So this period, live by the word of God. What has God said? What has God said? Don't mind what your head is saying. Don't mind what your body is saying or feeling. No. What has God said? Make your decisions based on that word. All right? That's the first thing I wanted to share with you. Live by the word of God. God has said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have to understand what this means. God is the only person that can tell us the ability of everybody in the world. God is the only person that can measure accurately the greatest abilities. He looked at everything Satan can bring or the world can throw. Then he looked at you and said, you are greater. that means he has named you a champion. If it is true, and you are living by that word, that means everything is small. Nothing is so big to make you concerned. How can you be shaking because you think you sneeze, or shaking because you're feeling hot? No, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're bigger than you think you are. And God wants you to live your life based on what he has said. He's the one that knows road. You know, he said, follow someone that knows road. He's the one that knows how you should chart your course on the earth. And so live your life by his word. He has declared you a champion. Live as a champion. Praise the Lord. All right. Something else I want to show you while I'm talking. Taken from this, Jonah 2, verse 8. Jonah, when last did you read the book of Jonah? It's a very short book. But everybody knows the story of Jonah. Well, they don't know the whole story. They just know fish swallowed somebody and he did not die. So anytime you hear of Jonah, you think about that. And for some of you, you have pictures of my book of Bible stories. Okay, but Jonah 2 verse 8, something, you know, Jonah was a prophet besides, and the story was God had told him to go to Nineveh and to tell them that their time is up, and he refused. He didn't want to go. He wanted God to punish them. You know, when you tell someone you're doing the wrong thing, you're given an opportunity to change, so you will not punish him. But when you don't tell him and he keeps doing the wrong thing, you can punish him. And so he wanted God to punish the Ninevites, so he didn't want to go. And so he ran away from Israel. Can you imagine? As though he doesn't know God is everywhere. So he ran, entered boat. And while they were going, the sea was boisterous. The Bible says all the people there started praying to their gods. But Jonah was sleeping. Why? Because he knows what was happening. So it's because of him. And so when they prayed, they called themselves together. I said, okay. Who knows what is happening? Jonah said, look, let me not waste your time. It's me. I'm the reason why this is happening, you know. God told me. He told them. God told him to do something. He refused. He's running away. And so this is why this is happening. He knows God is following him. And so the Bible says the shipmen, they rowed hard. They wanted to take this boat back to land where it's safe. They tried. And it didn't work. So they asked Jonah, so how can we get out of this situation? Jonah, he said it sarcastically, you know, just talking. He said, well, if you carry me and throw me inside the sea will be calm. You know, he didn't mean it, because if he really meant it, he would have jumped out. He didn't. He was just laughing at them, like, carry me and throw me inside the sea. It will be calm. So the Bible says, the men tried. It wasn't working. Then they prayed to God. Say, please, it's not our fault. And while he was standing looking at them, to his surprise, they just jacked him and threw him inside the sea. Then he found himself in the belly of a fish. What should he say? God, please have mercy on me. God, please, I'm sorry. Look at what he said. I said verse 8, but let's start from verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Oh my goodness. He didn't say, God, hear me. No. In the fish's belly, he said, I cried and he heard. If you were God, he said, when did I hear? The Bible says, if we know that he heard us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Jonah was praying the prayer of faith. Instead of crying, God, please hear me, he said, thank you, you have heard me. You see how he, by faith, juxtaposed himself out of that situation? Just jetting himself out. Instead of saying, God, please, and then waiting for something to happen. No, he made things happen. He said, you have heard me. Look at it. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. I told you something. When you walk in faith, God will neither be embarrassed nor angry. God could have said, come, Jonah, what is wrong with you? I'm punishing you. You said I've heard you. When did I tell you I've heard you? Come on, keep praying there. No. When you act your faith, God will respond. Because it is faith that pleases him. he'll respond. Remember Jesus? I told you guys, Jesus and his mom, how that he didn't plan to turn water to wine. It was not his idea, but mom's. She knew her son could work a miracle. She heard the wine was finished, and then she came to meet him. Said, they ran out of wine. Said, woman, what is my business with that? He was not the person getting married. It was not someone that was so close getting married. He was not the chief of the marriage feast. But something his mom said that got him to work the miracle. She left him. She didn't be like, please now, please understand the situation. Please, very embarrassing. No, because it is faith that moves God, not negotiation. Are you seeing it? It is faith. So she left him and told the servants, whatever I told you to do, do it. Meaning that she knew he would do something. Even before he said, I would do it, she already said he would do it. And then she left. So he had to do it. Same with the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was going to Jairus' house, not planning to heal anybody. And then she came and touched him in faith and left. He could have said, come. You know who I am? You mean you just touch somebody like that and get a miracle like that? You think it's like that? No, but it was inspired by her faith. There's another story that comes to mind. The Syrophoenician woman, or the woman of Canaan, all right? And her daughter had a demon, and she met with Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, it is not right to cast the children's bread and give it to dogs. The woman could have felt insulted. So because I came for a miracle, you're calling me a dog. But no, she knew what she wanted. She knew what she wanted. She said, yes, so, yes, sir. That's what she said. She said, yes, you're right. She said, yes. But she said, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. Jesus could have said, so I say one, you say two. Is that how it works now? When I talk, you must talk. No. He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. He says, the devil is gone out of your daughter. He was impressed. And now look at Jonah. He's not out yet. And he's saying God heard him. Think about it. In verse 9, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Eh? Meaning, he has already started seeing himself out of this place, thanking God for delivering him. He says, I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord spake to the fish. Said, fish, throw this man out. With his words, he had already come out. Keeping him there, we're keeping him in the wrong place. The man had seen himself out of that place. He's out. But look at something Jonah said in verse 8, where it all started. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In this situation, or in the situation he was in, he needed mercy from God. But he was saying, to get that mercy, he had to choose not to observe lying vanities. Two things. Number one, that means anytime there's a problem, mercy is available. But most people focus on the problem so much that they forsake mercy. Why not focus on mercy and forsake the problem? That's what he's trying to say. So he says, what is mercy? Let me give you an example. The Bible says, two blind men ran after Jesus. Same thing with blind Bartimaeus. Said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. What was the idea of mercy there? They were blind. They wanted to see. When he had mercy on them, they began to see. What is the problem? You require mercy. Mercy is a solution. So he's saying that when there is a problem, solution is available. It matters what you focus on. If you focus on one, you have forsaken the other one. You use the word forsake when you have options. Oh, there's a problem and there is mercy. But if you focus on the problem, you have forsaken mercy. So he's saying those that observe lying vanities, oh, praise the Lord. That means no matter how bad the situation is, there is always a solution. He says don't focus on that problem. Focus on the solution. Listen, so that means if he had said, God, please hear me, that would mean that he was focusing on the problem. He was saying, I'm in a situation right now. Please help me. Are you seeing it? When he said, he has heard me, that means he's saying, I got my answer. So instead of saying, God, please protect us right now, you can say, thank you, Father, you're here and I'm protected. Are you seeing it? It's a choice. It's a choice. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So saying, Father, this period, let nothing touch me. Say, thank you, Father. I'm complete in Christ and nothing can touch me. You see how you're moving from the place of being a victim to a victor. Say, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But look at what he called it. Lying vanity. I mean, the guy was in the fish's belly for real. He said, this is a lie. This is a lie. This is vanity. That's what he's saying. So whatever you're going, you can name it a lie and vanity and focus on the solution. Shoot yourself out of that problem. Maybe you're in a financial situation. Say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for this offering I can now give because this problem is solved. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thinking right now, talking to you, of these two instances I just gave. These two blind men, they were crying out to Jesus. Oh, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And in Matthew 9, that's when this happened. Jesus didn't answer them till they got to the house and then asked them. So that took a long while. But the woman with the issue of blood didn't have that time. Are you seeing it? She had a problem. She didn't have that time. So instead of acting like these two men, realizing there's a problem and saying, please have mercy, please have mercy, she just jettisoned to the solution immediately. Touched the hem of his garment, and she was whole. Completely well. Oh, praise the Lord. And that is what he wants. That is how he wants you to respond. Praise the Lord. Listen, that situation, name it a lie. Let me tell you something, think about. God brought the animals to Adam and told him to name them. Meaning that the authority to name things is in the mouth of a man. You are the one to name what that issue is. Are you saying it? You're the one to name it. And then with your naming of it, you can decide how to deal with it. So you're feeling a lump in your body. Say, this is a lie. This is a lie. I am complete in Christ. No extra. No extra lump in my body. I'm complete already. And I want to show you something that will bless you totally. Colossians 1 verse 16. Remember, I was talking about this. Okay? But Colossians 1 verse 16. Something for you this period. An extra for you. Oh, praise the Lord. I love the word of God. Okay, 1 verse 16. He's talking about Jesus Christ. All right? Let's have 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? That's Jesus. The firstborn of every creature. Verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Why? Jesus is the word of God. And God made all things by his word. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things were created for his use. He can use all things, including Satan. Someone says, yeah, I want to show you how to use the devil in this period. All right? How to use him. He's going around right now telling people something is wrong with them. What a jobless fellow. That's what he's doing right now. So how can you use him? Not just now, but for your life. Simple. In John 8 verse 44, Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Since when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature. That means everything he says is a lie. He cannot say the truth. He cannot. All right? He cannot. Look at him. Talking to Jesus, the temptation, he said, bow down before me. He said, all these things will I give you because it has been given unto me. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's not like Adam said, oh, Satan, take all my authority. No, he deceived the woman. Are you saying it? He deceived the woman.
He's a fraud, a thief. But see the way he said it, as though he's someone important, but he was lying. So he only says that which is a lie. Oh, so how can I use him? You see, he has become an unwilling messenger. When he comes to you and says something is wrong with you, it's a lie. That means something is very right with you. When you know this, everything begins to minister to you. Satan says, that thing, that feeling you're having right now, you can't breathe. Yes, you can't breathe. That's corona. Oh, but he only lies. So for sure, you don't have it. You see, he has become useful to you. Anytime he comes and say something, you say, okay, yes, the opposite is the truth. Are you saying it? The opposite is the truth. He says, this period, there's no cash. He starts giving you pictures. You are going to be hungry. Oh, you say, thank you, Father. That means money has come. He comes before time to inform you of what is happening, but he thinks he's trying to kill your faith. Let me give you an example. Let's say you really require cash, and throughout the devil has not been talking to you until now. You have just 5,000 naira, and he says, this period, this is the only money you would have. Manage it. What's he doing? He sees the money coming. Are you seeing it? So he comes to lie to you that this is the only money. Why? Because he has seen that money is coming. So if it becomes useful to you, an unwilling messenger, once he comes and says, this is the only money I have, say, thank you, Father, money is coming. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you thank God and you still rebuke him. Say, get out, Satan. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, expecting to be killed. And so he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 16. And while he was talking to them, and he had asked them a question, they had answered, he said, tell them what would happen. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. He said, I'll be killed, buried, in 3 days I would rise. Then came Satan, through Peter, took Jesus aside and rebuked him. He said, Master, this shall not be so unto you. Rebuked him, that's what the Bible said. But you see, I told you, Satan only lies. While he was trying to encourage Jesus that he will not die, the Bible says he was already plotting to kill Jesus. Are you seeing what I'm saying? An unwilling messenger. He comes to tell you beforehand what is happening, but he cannot say the truth, so he'll say it in an opposite direction. Are you seeing it? So Satan comes and says, you will soon die. No, he's telling you what is happening, that you will live. But because he cannot say the truth, he'll say it opposite way. What did Jesus say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, thou art an offense unto me. So he was lying. Jesus knew he was lying. Jesus knew the truth was he would be killed, but he still rebuked him. So when the devil comes and say, that pain in your leg will begin to grow fat. Because you saw a picture, so his leg begin to grow fat. Don't accept his words. Say, before I thought it would grow fat, now I know. It is not growing fat. Devil, get out of here. Now, remember, Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities. That means whatever the devil tells you that is a challenge is actually a lie. Are you saying it? It's a lie. So they forsake their own mercy. See how we have been set for life. I mean, we are like this rock. That no matter the weather, the condition of the weather, we remain stable and unshaken. We just grow bigger and bigger. When devil comes with his lies, we know what the truth is. When God comes with his truth, we accept his truth. I mean, throughout, everything is just working for our good. Are you saying it? Everything. This is the life that we've been called to live. Praise the Lord. Now, the last thing I want to say is, it is in situations like this that the divine life that you have received begins to manifest. Situations like this. Think about it. Jesus was a marvel. Say, what manner of man is this? And he worked miracles. Okay. If there was no sick person, nobody would know he could heal the sick. If there was no storm at sea, nobody would know he could calm the storms. If his disciples
were still there waiting for him, nobody would know he could walk on water. It was in challenging situations that it became obvious that this man was not normal. He was supernatural. Listen, miracles happen, but miracles cannot be explained by natural laws. When natural law stops, a miracle happens. We have received the miraculous life, the divine life. That means in receiving that life on the earth, it is a signal that challenges would come, and then we manifest that life. Are you saying it? Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16. Let's look at it. Mark 16. I said it last Sunday, just to be clear. It says, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. He said, this is the sign for the believer. When there is a devil, you cast it out. What if there's no devil? How would you then know that this is the believer? Meaning that for the believer, the devil would come and he would cast it out. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What if there are no deadly things? How would you know the believer? That means he's telling us there will be deadly things, but we'll be untouchable. So it is period like this that everything you have learned about the divine life, the supernatural life, should be expressed by you. I mean, you are well equipped. You have the life that can deal with the situation. Don't cry like others. Don't act like others. Don't act hopeless like others. This is your time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is your time. That's why now, everybody is there using, you know, paper to touch things. They cannot press button, ATM button anymore. You must spray it first. They touch it. I understand. The life they have, they will die. But we have the divine life. And so just be free. Be free. See, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. But more than that, we are now the sons. We are the ones setting people free. Just be free. Live your life. Help those you can help. But don't be bound by the dictates of this world. You're different. You're different. So we've learned so much today. Number one, we live by the word of God. If God has not said it, we don't respond accordingly. We only respond based on what God has said. Number two, we don't observe lying vanities. So when Satan brings a lie, we know the opposite is the truth, and we live our life accordingly. Number three, this is our time. Every time is our time. When it's good, is our time. When it's bad, is our time. We are kings and champions forever. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Wow. Thank you, because all of these years you have been preparing us for this, and we are walking in victory. Thank you, because nothing the devil throws at us can touch us. In fact, now we know how to use whatever he throws for our advantage. Thank you, because this period, we are sound, we are well, and we are increasing in glory. And I pray for everybody listening to me right now. I pray their faith is strengthened and grows, that their desire for you and the things that concern you increases, that this period they are fruitful and productive, no time wasting, no distractions, but living out the life that you have planned for them. Thank you, because health is theirs, provision is theirs, clarity is theirs, focus is theirs. Thank you, Father. Your goodness is visible in their life. Thank you, because the words that they've heard today, they will not forget, but it's producing results, and it's growing and growing and prevailing over every circumstance. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.